Hello, everyone. My name is Kaz.
This is Medibot.
And this is episode 31 of The Skulls Cast. And Medibot, I believe you have a question for me, or...
I have a question for you, or rather, an announcement.
You haven't... Okay, it's an announcement and followed by a question.
As you know, some time ago, I opened Mars as the Medibot Advanced Research Systems Facility. And on Mars, we do research into all sorts of different scientific applications. Our motto is bringing you the future of tomorrow today. And I want to tell you about our latest breakthrough.
On Mars. It's called
Bumblebee Extract. For years, ever since man discovered the bumblebee confused and in some ways terrified man, not only because of its similarity to much more dangerous creatures, but because man could not figure out how such a fat and silly-looking animal was able to fly. It violated all normal laws of aerodynamics, yet there it flew, right before us. But finally, we on Mars have discovered the secret, and that is a small reservoir of liquid within the bumblebee's body, inside what we are calling its flight gland. We've discovered that by extracting this special liquid that we are calling bumblebee extract, we can inject it into any other living creature and give it the ability to fly. Now, of course, because this ability is being taken from a bumblebee, there are some restrictions on this. As a bumblebee generally isn't carrying very much around with it, other than maybe some pollen attached to its legs.
They have little pantaloon sack thingies that they can
So much like a bumblebee. If we inject you with bumblebee extract, you will be able to fly as the bumblebee does, which is to say, more or less naked. So if you take off all your clothes and drop everything you're carrying, and, you know, maybe you can support a very small additional amount of weight, enough for, say, you know, a pair of glasses, you can fly as you choose through the air, you know, just sort of hovering along, you know, not terribly fast, you know, sort of at, well, you know, think about how fast a bumblebee goes, and then just sort of scale it up, because you're a person, not a bumblebee, and you can fly anywhere so long as you're naked.
Okay.
Would you like to buy some of my bumblebee extract?
Well, first of all, I think you're selling me short on this. This is definitely snake oil, and let me tell you why. All right? Before I get to answering the question, which you have posed to me honestly, and I mean to give you an honest answer about that, bumblebees can carry up to 4 times what they weigh. It's a little factoid I picked up as a child watching animal shows. They're like, did you know? Bees can carry more than they weigh. And I'm like, oh, neat.
Goddamn insect kingdom with their massive super strength fucking up all of my crazy science theory
questions. I chuckled when you said scaled up, because that is a huge, huge topic in physics, and it's the reason why we don't see, like, 20-foot-tall insects with chitinous plating on the outsides of their bodies and other exoskeletal creatures reaching massive size, except for, of course, the lobster, who rests deep at the bottom of the sea and can grow to boundless size, and therefore has yet to be discovered, because he has murdered anyone who dared get close, because he is a monstrous giant sea lobster. And they can also live for basically an unbounded amount of time. The lobster is a terrifying animal, and one that I think you and I should have a discussion for another time. But the question, as posed, you know, regardless of where the extract comes from, you know, let's say it's a process of scaling, actually. like something about scaling it up makes it not work quite as well.
Yeah, you can. Of course, you too can carry four times a bumblebee's weight.
Yeah. In addition to myself, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why you have to be naked.
So that, yeah, that's where the nakedness comes in. Perhaps only the finest of cloth that is basically invisible anyway, and you can't, that's not covering anything up. I think I would have to shave. That might help. You can get rid of, like, a lot of hair and, like, fingernail clippings around the body. Maybe some teeth, too. I'm trying to think of what else I could, but then, you know, what do I really want to carry around that weighs as much as my teeth that I would give up my teeth to carry? It's sort of another interesting corollary to this question. Yeah. How fast would I be able to fly? Would it be like lumbering, sort of floating around, magician floaty flight?
Yeah, basically that. Zip? You point with your fingers and you go in that direction.
Oh man. Oh, I think
that's also how
it.
You control it, or can choose to control it. The finger pointing is actually just psychosomatic.
And yet, that is the best kind of ability to control things, is with my psyche, with my soul. I am controlled by soul power. That is excellent. So I think I would do it.
Want some of my bumblebee extract?
I mean, this doesn't stop me from, like, regular moving around, right?
Right, you can still, you know.
So just, okay, you know, go on weekend trips, and you know, tell your friends or whatever that you're going to fly a kite, and then you just go to the beach, you know, look around, see if anybody's around. If there are, you know, few enough people, you don't care. Okay, just take off your trunks. Floop. And then you're in the sea breeze and you're in the sun. Ooh, or maybe you could just like, no. I know the other way that I would roll this is just on my back porch, right? Or with a, well, I guess the book would have to be on the ground because I can't carry the book and fly, but I could just sort of like fly, float in place and then like be floating in place above my deck or whatever, so like lounging without a deck chair.
Yes,
that would
be very
neat.
Relaxing to lounge around in the nude on your deck.
Or I could be a stalker, like a ripper who goes out in the night and just sort of floats around.
Yeah.
And because people wouldn't hear me, except for perhaps a small buzzing sound.
A low droning noise. I mean, you're a bit
and
bigger
you know,
than
of course,
a bumblebee, Kaz.
Right. Well, I mean, they wouldn't notice me until I'm like a couple feet away. You can't like hear a single bumblebee from but such a distance. Yeah, and then when I'm ready to pounce, you know, stop flying, you know, grab the nearest sharp object to threaten or just, like, choke someone out. There's all kinds of applications for such
so you use your powers for crime.
Such an ability. I'm saying that I could.
Yeah.
I don't think I really want to be a ripper that doesn't get me anything and could be really dangerous. And, of course, we have the double whammy of any time we use this ever, we risk a criminal act is in indecent exposure. I believe this is a very minor crime, and yet if you do it enough, they keep records, you see, and they catch on to patterns of behavior. And even though in a lot of cases you are like not supposed to argue based on a pattern, if they have hard evidence of the crime that they're talking about and they can show a pattern, then it looks way, way worse. So There is a substantial risk in becoming the bumblebee. Also, don't bumblebees wear jackets? No, that's yellow jackets. Damn. Yes.
Hence the name.
Ah, I can't get out of this one. I'm trying to looch my way out of it. It's no good. There's no gigantic man to Hurricane Rana here.
There is only the bumblebee. You are the bumblebee.
It'd be really great, though, to have the droning noise. You're like, and then you can't see me pointing, but I am pointing with my fingers, and that's how I get to place from place to place. See, what else could we do with the bone? How many people? Is this a product? Do you have to repeatedly inject yourself?
Or no, just been injected with bumblebee extract, you gain the powers of bumblebee.
Just is there? I don't suppose there's side effects.
No known antidote.
No antidote. Hey, I'm asking about side effects here. Am I gonna get skin cancer too? Does my lifespan shrink to the length of a bumblebee's? Do I become an invalid because flying bumblebees you see are mules? Or
When you're flying, you're not really using your muscles at all, so an over reliance on flight could lead to some. If you're just getting if most of your exercise was coming from walking around. That could be a thing.
I can kind of see
flight
that.
Is known to be habit forming.
Oh.
I think okay, that's so, all Google told me to say.
All right. Well, as long as we're not dealing with, your increased risk of cancer of, X, Y, and Z types, and you'll develop type 4 diabetes, and
those sorts
and
of
reverse melanoma and all kinds of.
Those are boring. Because they're all equivalent.
All diseases are equivalent?
Yeah, pretty much. In the context of the thought experiment, yes.
Oh, okay. That's. The way I see it is, you can say, eventual, terminal requires palliative care, immediate onset of severe symptoms, or you can tailor the symptoms to last for amount of time. There's lots of ways to juggle diseases to make them different for people. They don't all have to be the same thing. Diabetes, for instance, is livable. You have to, your life changes. You have to modify your diet. You have to wear different clothing sometimes. You have to test your own blood frequently, and you need devices to do that. In some cases, you have to keep needles or other devices around with you to administer medicine to yourself with a needle. But it's a whole system that goes along with that. It's much, much different from other kinds of diseases, or even other kinds of treatments.
Well, the bumblebee extract, FDA can't prove anything about it, so.
Okay.
It's perfectly safe other than those two things legal told me I had to tell you.
Is habit forming, though? Okay, so suppose I have the bumblebee power and I am flying, and I start to convolute my desire to fly with the desire to simply be naked. Because I imagine, after long enough, even if you, logically know that what you really want is to fly around, after repeating that behavior enough times where naked equals flying, you're going to eventually cross wires up there in the head brain. And you'll just say, I want to be naked.
Yeah.
And that'll happen all the time.
Nature teaches us this.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty great. I was naked earlier. in the shower.
I was naked earlier at the office.
On Mars.
Yeah.
In the Mars office.
My office in Mars.
Okay. Makers of Bumblebee Extract and the Mars Bar.
No, actually, we've had to do a lot of legal arm wrestling to even be able to keep our name. We do not associate us with the candy manufacturer. No,
I see.
That's just going to confuse people. Children will attempt to buy my products.
No, I think I know a guy who went through the same thing. It was Joseph Pepsi. Uh-huh. He had a plumbing gig, and so it was like Pepsi Pipes, and Pepsi was like, "Look, we copyrighted that name X years ago when we planned to, but never ultimately implemented a flavor of that kind." So he changed his name to Coke Pipes. Different problem, but he's working with it.
Just a maze of pipes.
Convoluted with the desire to be naked.
You will associate the freedom of flight with the freedom of nudity.
I think I would sleep that way.
Sleep.
Sort of like...
while floating.
Floaty sleep.
You can do that.
Like, thazong.
You know, like, have...
I do, yeah.
Have some safety equipment on for the first few nights until your body becomes accustomed to just staying in one place during the night. But, it's pretty easy to adjust to it. It's just like, you know, staying in place while you're lying down.
Huh.
Sleep with swords at your sides to keep you from moving around in your sleep.
Every night, I would sleep with swords all around me. Freaking. That was a character from Fire Emblem who did that. What was her name? It's terrible. I've played so many Fire Emblem games that all the names fall away, and I understand them only by their roles. So, you know, I don't remember Bob the Chef and Amelia the dog catcher or whatever. I just remember Chef and dog catcher.
I think Amelia was like a recruit with a spear, and you could make her a general.
Yeah, that name just popped into my head at the same time. Yeah, it was pretty great. And she must have had the bumblebee extract, or at least you could give it to her, because she could, like, float a bit. And it's also, the armor is part of your body or something. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the exoskeleton.
Yeah. Getting that's back. A different extract.
Oh, okay.
Our extracts division has a... Well, I'm glad I sunk a lot of money into it, I guess, the short version. And by glad that I sunk a lot of money into it, I mean I'm glad I siphoned off those charitable organizations' funds. Which this is also for the good of all people.
It's for the good of people who want to be naked, I think.
So everyone?
I mean, deep down, sure, but the necessities of society enforce different...
Look, Medicine Sans Frontiers is not going to have trouble raising that money again.
If you say so.
They're French, they'll figure something out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they clearly are naked more often than if they're French. So maybe they'll be flying around more. If it ends up being a better or more efficient means of travel, I would consider, like, the not backpacking, as it were. Just, you know, over a weekend, go fly the Appalachian Trail. Maybe. Maybe it could be like tubing, where you have someone drop you off and then pick you up on the other side. Except instead of a pickup truck to carry the tubes and the beer, you would have clothes on each side.
Yeah. You'd set up stashes of clean clothes.
And as a matter of fact, if it becomes popular enough, and we have, say, everybody becomes Bumblebee person, all right? Everyone on Earth. And then it gets, like, genetically inherited so that the whole population now change the human race. Change the human race and we all have this ability. I think that it would become almost like we have two different lives. We have the traveling person life and we have the working or acting person life. And so you would fly around in two different suits that you would use to do whatever you needed. And then you would fly off. And everything would be, well, not everything, but a lot of things would be more public. So instead of, like, a public shower stall, there would be, I don't know, a public business attire thing. And so you would just...
Maybe our whole notions of attire and clothing would change based on this new need to just quickly, you know, reclothe and unclothe
yourself. Yeah, I think so. I think there would be a lot more front loaders. Like, total front-loading outfits. Where you just sort of, like, fly in from the back and put your arms out. Kind of like the, the devices that you have in Sector C, with the, like, clean room and the little arm holes, and you can stick your hands in and get these long gloves that can reach into the chamber.
Yeah.
What do they call those?
Those are just, like, chem lab safety chambers, and those are your gloves.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
That. Yeah. Like, from Andromeda Strain, and basically everywhere ever, because we've had this technology for so long. The glove plus the plastic. It didn't take a genius to figure it out, but God bless him, Sancho Rogers figured it out. I mean, or wait, is that the guy who invented corn plastic? Planet of Bumblebee People.
Bumblebee People? People just have stashes of robes everywhere. This definitely isn't a ploy for us to also make a lot of money off of our personalized biometric locking-unlocking system suitable for, you know, say, locker rooms that might contain a person's change of clothes.
Yeah, maybe, like, every place would have locker rooms. Ooh, I know. What if we have a device where you use the biometric feedback thingy, whatever, and it, like, logs into your account, and then you step in the chamber, and it puts on clothes, because you have those clothes in your account, and then you can walk around and have clothes
license-based apparel.
Yeah. And
you
then,
don't buy
clothes,
you buy a license to wear something.
Right, and then you before you leave, you put it back in the machine, and then it auto-launders it or whatever, and then, you know, off you go. And so since these are everywhere, you don't need to take the clothes with you, so you can go fly, and there we are. It'd be, you know, it's kind of like an ATM that dispenses clothing instead of money.
I can think of many times where I wish that device actually existed.
I'm sure that there are plenty of, that a lot of us have been there before.
None of the clothes shops are open. I can't withdraw enough money to form them into a weapon to break the window of the clothes shop to steal the trousers.
Well, you know, they might... I hope, anyway, eventually, this isn't actually going to happen. But they should switch over to gold coins. At least for the American $1 denomination. Coins would be a better choice than $1 bills.
Yeah, and then I can just fill a tube sock full of those.
Right, but where are you going to get the tube sock, mister? You don't have any clothes.
Off my... Oh.
Yeah. Oh. You're up a creek now.
I can weave one from my hair. Give me a minute. Fine, I punched the window out. Are you happy?
Yeah, okay. I'll accept.
Important note. When you use bumblebee extract, you do not lose any capacity for normal physical violence. Some say by the ability to fly, it's enhanced.
Yeah, I guess you could, instead of pointing fingers, you could, like, Superman fist forward fly. Mm-hmm. Most flying superheroes seem to prefer the fist forward.
It's a very honest type of flying with your fists out.
I always thought that sent the wrong message. Like, the message of the superhero is that to be great, you have to fight all the time, and you have to be the best at punching things. And I enjoyed punchy action comics as well as The Next Little Kid, which was a lot, but more and more I came to see, okay, well, what about nuanced problems? What about problems where no one's the bad guy, but we just have conflicting interests and we have to manage them? Well, those just aren't interesting in comic form.
Yeah, they're just...
So we never need
a
flying superhero. It's, you know, Superman visits the United Nations.
Got a strong arm country into not developing nuclear weapons by just threatening to punch all their leaders.
Superman flies up and wags his finger at potential bad guys.
Don't make me fly to your house, because I can get there really fast, because I'm Superman.
He's got the bumblebee.
He's got better than a bumblebee. But
who do you imagine would be early adopters of this technology?
Well,
Bumblebee.
I think it's really people like me. People who value convenience over all other things, including the personal happiness and the desire of other people to not see a naked, pasty nerd. You know, I don't mind that I've ruined their day with that image that is now permanently etched into the front of their brain. Because I flew somewhere. And then, as it becomes sort of socially accepted, which will not happen...
Prefrontal cortex?
Yeah. Because that's what your eyes are connected to.
Changed it... Hey, hold on.
Your eyes are connected directly to the brain, and so they must naturally be connected to the front. That's what our researchers tell me.
Well, with your eyes, you can see the steam rising off of my head.
I can. It's actually... Could I collect some of that?
No. It's going to float up and evaporate and be gone. But for now, it is steam. We might eventually get to cognitive neuroscience. But not today. I'll leave it. Steam subsides. There's no need for it. Early adopters. Bees. I think that only the fabulously wealthy will be early adopters of this technology. The people who are like the Ben Franklins of our age, except not as interesting or useful to society as Ben Franklin was, and probably not necessarily perverts, but we're talking about a guy who would wind bathe.
Oh, yes.
This was supposed to be good for your health. and you go out into the middle of a field that's on the massive plantation land that you own. You just go out into one of your fields, and there's a wind, and you hold your arms out, and you wind bathe. So I'm pretty sure Ben Franklin would want this, and would definitely do it.
Maybe that wasn't wind bathing at all. Maybe he had discovered it, but, you know, just wasn't extracting it right.
One of the lesser-known Ben Franklin experiments and inventions for our societies.
But, well, that idiot couldn't market it. We can, and that's what makes America great.
Was he really flying a kite that fateful night? Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Oh, man, getting buffeted around by the wind would be a complete bitch.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever seen a bee in wind?
It's not having a good time.
No. It's not going where it wants, either.
It's going wherever. Places, though.
You're a leaf at that point. It's like, okay, whoop-ah! And, like, sometimes the wind punches you in the guts. And then you're like, ah! Ugh!
And all your guts are exposed for the wind to punch.
My exposed guts! I think it would also be the, like, Tom Friedmans of the world. People who have made it in some capacity and now sort of couch in their previous glory and no longer do much of anything that's terribly relevant or useful, but people kind of remember that they were relevant and useful before, so they're just a name and a face.
When their books are used to confuse high school students...
Yes, and even though they have continued to, like, grow and grow old and change, they've been using the same portrait or headshot for everything that they do for the last, like, since they were actually useful and good.
That's the and last so time they
really
existed.
Really, it's just a face. Yeah, so, you know, someone who's like that, they would be, that person would be an early adopter of the Bumblebee thing. Extract, I guess.
And of course, like all things that we invent in Mars, we're planning on selling it to the military, because they'll pay us a bundle for anything.
Military already has drones, man.
That doesn't get people to places.
Yeah, okay, but I also don't think that the military would necessarily want, you know, flying naked soldiers.
Who wouldn't want flying naked soldiers, Kaz?
People who are worried about flak cannons. Or, I don't know, duck shot at that point.
Look, okay, Kaz. I realize that we're trying to have a complete understanding of what's going on, but they're not going to buy any of this if you keep pointing out reasons why it's no good for them.
I'm trying to think through this as a chief of staff would.
Oh, see.
So this is not what
if you were the chief of staff, what I am bitching you for like you. This is what PowerPoint you, full of buzzwords.
This is what you are up against if you're trying to sell this to a military mind. It's like, wait a minute.
Fine.
So I can take my soldiers, strip them of all armor, make them completely exposed to enemy fire from various distances. And for what? To get them from place to place? Gah, get out of here.
Okay, then we'll sell it to a paramilitary that doesn't think things through like that.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah, like freedom-loving types. Live free or die kind.
Yeah, they'll love it.
Yeah. Yeah, take this stuff to New Hampshire.
Get your bumblebee extract.
Matter of fact, you barely even have to wear clothes in New Hampshire.
That might be a good test market, then.
No, I think it would be. You just, like, roll out. It's like, what's up, Manchester? And, like, no one will care. Because, like, half of them are also naked anyways. It's like, yeah.
You can come in with, like, a bus or something.
Yeah.
Like they have when they're doing
I mean, of course,
drives.
That's only in the warmer months, because it does get pretty chilly up there, and you usually get snow and everything. I guess that's also a limitation, but perhaps mankind itself, in the scenario where we all, like, fly around naked all the time, perhaps mankind itself would sort of gravitate towards the warmer climates.
Clothing becomes viewed as something exclusively to keep you warm in unusually cold places.
Hmm. It would be a different credit on your account. You would have to walk into the husky stall or like warm weather stall, and it would be like bulkier. You could tell like right away. And then there would be those like funny situation comedy moments where, you know, the dopey character mistakenly goes into the wrong one, and then he has to wear the big thing for the entire episode because he's a dope. Writes itself. The scenarios write themselves.
Oh, this is great. Okay,
because it can be real in a sitcom, I think it can be real in life.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure that everything that ever happened in Happy Days either had already happened or occurred within 8 years of airing.
Modern day prophecy. It's like we had, why can't I remember any Oracle names? I guess I'll have to go bone up on my mythology and then recite some Oracle names.
Hold on, I remember Oracles. There was, like, Charybdis and Sisyphus.
Wait, Charybdis?
No, wait, he was the boulder guy.
There was no Oracle of Charybdis.
Sure there was. And then that lady
That's
who
like
turned dudes into pigs. Maybe I'm just remembering the Odyssey a whole lot.
It's like saying, the Oracle of Chimera.
The Oracle of Godzilla.
Yes.
The Oracle of Mothra, that was real. There were two of them.
Oh, hey, okay, hey. We do not joke about the Oracle of Mothra.
That's real.
I'm going to have to draw down from that one. And thank you for reminding me of that. So, sooner or later, there are going to be giant moth things invading, scorching, and ultimately protecting Earth. And until then, we're just going to have to keep the secrets of the Bumblebee extract locked in your skulls.